Blog Talk Radio.
She's passionate and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions. Ooh, and now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy.
All right, welcome to the show. This is Coach Anna McCoy. I'm excited that you're with me today. We are going to be talking about... What are we talking about today? We're talking about building inner confidence. And we are in the, what do we call, the ninth chapter of Woman Act Now, the book Learn, Launch, and Live Your Dream, released in January of this year. We're going throughout the book so that we can teach you how to be a woman who acts in her now. Before I get started, I just want to take care of a couple of housekeeping rules or make some announcements for you, and that is we want to encourage you to be a part of our 15 Minutes to Destiny call, which is on Monday mornings at 12 noon Central Standard Time, and we want to encourage you to be a part of that. You can go to our website and get the information and join us at 12 noon Central Standard Time. So I'll be looking for you and hope you'll join us. Again, we'd like to like you to visit our website at womanactnow.com and consider joining the organization so that you can grow and be a woman who acts in her now, a woman who can achieve her destiny and purpose in life. So we're excited. We're excited to have you be a part of this call or this show today. We're talking about building inner confidence. And in a minute, I'm going to get on my roll, and we're going to make this happen, and I've got a lot of great things to share with you. One of the first things that I'd like to share is what is confidence? What do we mean when we talk about confidence? What does that mean to us? I think that there are many different ways that we view confidence. There are many different definitions, but I'd like to talk about from the perspective of managing or building your inner confidence. And I believe that each of us have confidence. It's just a matter of how we manage that confidence in a given situation. So hopefully by the end of this call, you will have gained some understanding as it relates to building your confidence and building your personal confidence. So I'm excited for you. So when we talk about confidence, what does it mean to have confidence? Having confidence really means trusting in your own abilities, your beliefs, and your talents, and being able to project poise effectively, both in private and in public. Oftentimes, when we lack confidence, we often will behave in a certain way that externally will share with others that we have a challenge with our level of confidence. Secondly, when we think about confidence, we also think about maybe our inability to do certain things. There are many different factors that can impact our confidence. Confidence is to confide in, that there is a part of you that trusts, that can confide even in your own ability, or you can fight with others. So we want to encourage you that confidence is your internal. It is internal and it is external. Firstly, it is internal in that you must trust your abilities, your beliefs, and your talents. Externally, you must project your abilities, beliefs, and talents with poise and effectiveness. So our topic today, you're listening to Coach Anna McCoy on Woman Act Now Radio, and our topic today is building inner confidence from page 123. So when we talk about confidence, how do we really attain confidence? Where does this come from, this word confidence? How do we get it? Why is it that some people are much more confident than others? What is that? What is, sometimes we say, oh, well, they have a lot of charisma, or this person is really smart, really intelligent, you know, different things like that. But what about me? Or what is it in me that's different? Well, let's talk about, where do we get confidence? Where does it stem from? I would venture to say that confidence is really acquired or attained through our personal experiences, our culture, our parental and familial influences, friends, and our education. So based on how we approach things, how we learn things, then we develop our confidence. We demonstrate confidence through the ability to decipher the information that we learn and convert it into meaningful and successful outcomes. When we're able to do this over a protracted period of time, we develop confidence. Some people say you don't develop confidence because you don't take enough risk. I think that we can develop confidence when we do a particular thing more than once, we can begin to develop our confidence. Sometimes it only takes you attempting to do that thing one time, and then you feel really, really confident about it that, yes, I can do this. Then there are other times when we lack confidence, you know, when our confidence can come from external or internal victories, failures, pressures, or experiences. We can begin to have our confidence eroded from relationships, from how people communicate with us, from not succeeding in various different areas, then our confidence can be eroded. So you're listening to Coach Anna McCoy, and we're talking about building inner confidence today. So we want to thank you for listening to us. I want to encourage you to visit our website at womanactnow.com. There are many different tools there to help you build your confidence and to manage that confidence. Many of us have viewed at least one of the many makeover shows on television and witnessed the metamorphosis in self-awareness when physical appearance is improved. The participant's confidence gets a major boost. Before participants undergo their makeovers, we can see that they actually lack confidence. Like, for instance, they won't smile, they may feel embarrassed, shy, and possibly depressed. Now, when we think about confidence, all of these are the external signs of having a lack of confidence, whether it's in our the way we behave, what we say, what we do. We show that we lack confidence. So what is it when we think about confidence, when you say, how do you explain this word confident? You know, some people say, I feel really confident doing this. I felt really confident being able to, you know, learn about a particular thing. And then we have some people who say, you know, I didn't have any confidence at all. And so what does that mean? Well, we'll continue. What that means, going back to those shows when we have people who, would they get a physical makeover, perhaps a person lacks confidence because If you've seen those extreme makeover programs, people can have various different external influences and attributes that contribute to the things that erode their confidence. For example, physical disfigurement, real or perceived, can impact a person's confidence. We have dissatisfaction with height, weight, size, body shape, athleticism. When we think about young people in school, we recognize some who are not as athletic may have an erosion in their confidence because they don't play football well. They don't play basketball well. We could have another thing that can erode our confidence is the frustration about hair. Now, you know, when it comes to women and we start thinking about our hair, and Lord forbid, don't talk about a black woman's hair because you got some real issues then. I mean, we go from one end of the spectrum to the other. And most other non-African-American groups of people seem to be quite intrigued with African-American hair. So when we think about that within our own community, we have an erosion of confidence based on the type of hair that we have. Tyra recently, I think this week, she did a show on black women's hair. Indy Ari wrote a song, "It's Not My Hair," or something along that line, because we identify with confidence, or we identify ourselves with our hair. Dental issues can erode our confidence. If we have buck teeth, crooked teeth, or cavity fillings, all of these things externally can begin to erode the woman that we think we are just based on those external factors. Being a frequent victim of teasing. How many of us have been teased? Teased first by siblings, then by coworkers, by family members or strangers in general, you know, really erodes our confidence. I was listening to Kirstie Alley Alley, I think that's her name, Kirstie Allen or Kirstie Alley, one of the two, the actress who lost all of this weight with Jenny Craig, and then she's gained all this weight back and was talking about confidence or how it begins to erode and how people say such cruel things based on where people are, based on what they think is either normal or not normal or should be good for us or not good for us or based on specific standards. All of these erode, all of these things will erode our confidence. The next one is physical abuse. Of course, we know this one all too well when we think of physical abuse and spousal abuse or, you know, your partner's abusing all of this type of behavior, whether you've been molested, whether you were raped, all of this can begin to erode our confidence. Oh, another one that's really, really bad is being the victim of damaging gossip and harmful stories, whether true or false. I recently, and many of you might have seen the show talking about the young people who were committing suicide, who were being sexually bullied. I mean, literally eroded their confidence so deeply that they would take their own lives. These were young boys who were taunted and accused of being homosexual and at the age of 11 and 12 years old taking their own lives. There are others who, for a young person who is creative or a young woman who is more athletic and therefore may appear to be more, characteristics are could be completely attacked based on her physical appearance rather than who she really is or who he really is. So all of these things began to erode our confidence. So our topic today is really building inner confidence. How can we develop something where we are so strong internally that even though we may have some of these external factors that erode our confidence, we can still survive? Whether it's threats, whether it's our surroundings, whether, you know, we lack finances and we live in situations that are not the most effective for us, all of these things began to erode confidence. Well, you know, it's really interesting because I want to go back just for a moment to those extreme makeover programs. Oftentimes, you've seen it, people get so excited, a person got their teeth fixed, or they got a tummy tuck, or they, you know, various different things, maybe just got a makeover, and how much more confident they feel, or at least they began to use that word. They stand up taller, they feel stronger, they feel more powerful because they've gotten a makeover, or they are feeling new and improved. But what happens when they go home? I'm always interested in hearing the stories of people who have experienced internal healing from external scars of the past. I mean, it's amazing how many people, if they get their teeth fixed, how much more confident they are. One of the things that I know firsthand is that as it relates to getting your teeth repaired or fixed or capped, is I broke my teeth when I was in the third grade. And throughout my entire school years from the third grade till I was a senior in high school, I walked around with a chipped tooth. Now, although I had a chipped tooth, I was also very, very, still very confident in who I was as an individual, in spite of some teasing, in spite of this big chip in the front of my tooth. And it was not a small chip. And so I decided when I was in the 12th grade is that I was working part-time, is that I was not going to take my senior pictures with a chip tooth, that I was going to go and get my mouth fixed, even if I had to pay for it myself. Took me 9 years to get that tooth fixed. And I will tell you that when I did, and I went around smiling and I felt pretty good, pretty confident that no longer would I be the butt of jokes, but that also I thought I was looking pretty cute. So when we think about how, when we heal ourselves from the external, what type of healing does it bring us internally? And I think for me, even in that moment, I'm not sure how long it lasted, but internally I realized that it was just an external challenge that I had, and that I was more to me than what my teeth presented. And, oh, it was so terrible. You know, I tell you, especially your teeth. If you've ever had the dream that you've broken your front tooth, oh, my God, it is the most scariest thing, because who wants to walk around with a broken tooth? So I recall when I was working for Dictaphone, for the corporation, I wasn't working for them. I was actually going in for an interview. And in that interview, it was so funny. In the interview, I went in, and the day before, I broke my tooth again. I could not believe it. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to go in there anyway. I know my tooth looks crazy, and I probably look like I came from somewhere in the backwoods somewhere and just looked crazy, like I didn't know what a dentist was. But my entire cap had broken off, and I did not have enough time to get to a dentist prior to my interview to have it fixed. So instead of canceling, I called my interviewer and I told them I had an accident, that my tooth had broken off, but I was willing, although it was not the way I presented myself, I was willing to come to the interview. Well, I went, and guess what? I got the job. They probably said, wow, she was pretty brave in doing that. So confidence, when we think about that, remember I asked the question, what happens to those people as they get this makeover? Are they able to sustain the internal healing process that occurs when they fix what's on the outside? Or do they, does that excitement and that enthusiasm wane or quickly diminish as a result of perhaps the first bad hair day, or when things really don't go well and I have to really face myself? When we talk about confidence and self-esteem, they are within. They are very similar in that external factors certainly impact them, but internal factors also impact them. So how we feel about ourselves is embodied in our thoughts, received as words we embrace, based on what others say or demonstrate to us about or based on our own thoughts about ourselves. So when we continue to move forward here, we're going to take just a short break, and we'll be right back to continue to talk more about building your confidence. So if you will stay with us, we'll be right back.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start.
That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Anna, the Real McCoy, your coach on Woman Act Now Radio. And we're talking about building inner confidence on today. So I want to encourage you, as we've talked about all of those things that will certainly erode your confidence, now I want to talk about how are we going to build confidence, because many of us have been impacted by our culture, our authority, various different people as it relates to our lifestyle and what's going, you know, how we acquire knowledge in our life. And so we have to spend time actually building our confidence. And one of the things that I like to teach others is not only in building confidence, but in managing your confidence. One of the keys to being very successful is being able to manage your confidence, because confidence is internal. You must trust your abilities, beliefs, and talents. Externally, you must project your abilities, beliefs, and talents with poise and effectiveness. So when we think about talking about confidence, we have to learn how to manage our confidence in various different situations, becoming master of our emotions and being able to control our behavior and our attitudes so that we can be most effective in a given situation. I talked about how difficult it is when we are trying to manage our confidence, in the sense that oftentimes, you know, we don't understand what's really happening to us when we haven't really developed an expertise in a particular area. So rather than exploding, we are imploding as it relates to building our confidence. So you're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy, on Woman Act Now Radio, and I want to encourage you to pass this message on as it relates to building confidence. Please visit our website at www.womanactnow.com for more information on how to become a member of Woman Act Now and be coached to success, as many other women are also being coached to success. So we'd like to continue with our message today of building inner confidence. If you'd like to give us a call, you can do so by calling 718 664-6402. That's your call-in number, and I'd be happy to take your calls on confidence. So now, when we think about confidence, most people who know me would probably describe me as being very confident. They would say that I have a strong, positive sense of self. Most of the time, I would agree with them. However, I have had my share of experiences with both external and internal events that have occurred and hurt or hindered my positive self-image. So let me tell you just about a couple of situations, or at least one situation that occurred in my life when we talk about your external and internal events that hurt or hinder your positive image. When I was a young girl, I really enjoyed skating. In fact, I was very athletic. I would just, I'd do anything that somebody would say, girl, you want to do this? Absolutely. You want to jump off a cliff? Okay. You want to go in the bayou? Because I'm from Houston, Texas. I said, sure. Falling out, falling in quicksand, whatever it took, I was right there because I was just a little tomboy. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. I had three older brothers, and hey, let's just go do this. So I really enjoyed ice skating, and I couldn't do it well, but, it's just the thought of gliding across that ice, putting those ice skates on with that little bitty blade and sliding across the ice. So when I was in third grade, I mentioned that I guess a lot of things happened in third grade. I broke my tooth. I mentioned that already. And here's another story that happened when I was in the third grade and how my confidence was being eroded. I was at the ice rink with my family, and we were having a great time. This was my first time skating, but I caught on quickly. I tell you, I was very athletic. I bravely let go of those rails around the rink and ventured among those who were much more skilled than I was. As I made my way around that rink, gliding, laughing, falling, and getting back up, only to do it again, I hoped that when I reached the place where my mother was sitting, I would be skating on 2 feet. After a few turns, I waved and screamed, "Look at me, Mom! Look at me!" I wanted her to see me in all my glory. But just as I passed by, waving and screaming, a male skater flew by me and clipped my feet, sending me flying. Most of my other falls were definitely results of my own lack of experience and general clumsiness, but this particular crash was not of my doing. My arms and legs failed me completely, and I was airborne. When I came down, I could hardly break my fall, and my face collided with the ice. Being the resilient youth that I am, I hopped up and said, "I'm okay," looking around to assure my mother that what I said was true. As I proceeded around that rink, a male skater clipped my skate. And as I proceeded around the rink, the right side of my face felt a little numb from the fall. When I returned again to that place where my mother was sitting, she cast me a suspicious glance and motioned for me to come over here, Anna. I made my way over, grinning from ear to ear, expecting her to tell me that she saw the whole incident and wanted to make sure I was not hurt. What my mother saw on my face seemed to disturb her. However, as she looked at me, she said, "Baby, come over here. Come off the ice. I need to look at you." "What is it?" She looked at me strangely as she grabbed my chin, turning my head from left to right. She asked me to blink my eyes, smile, and open my mouth, and open my mouth as she continued her inspection. "What is it, Mama?" I asked, starting to panic. She looked pretty scared, and she said, "Your face is twisted." She could tell that something was terribly wrong and that my fall on the ice had something to do with it. My mother didn't rush me to the hospital that evening, but the very next day, she and my dad took me to Herman Hospital in Houston, Texas, to be examined by specialists. They told my mother and father that I had Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy causes one side of the face to pull on the other side of the face so that it contorts. You appear similar to someone who has had a major stroke, but only one side of your face is affected. The nerves that control your ability to blink, to taste, and produce saliva are the same. The year was 1974, and there were very few cases of Bell's palsy among children of my age. During that hospital visit, there were a half dozen doctors inspecting me, touching and examining me. The specialist prescribed shock treatment, which consisted of applying small bursts of electricity to the neck area just below the ears. These treatments were required daily for several months until the nerve that was affected had healed. Eventually, my face realigned, but not before new words were introduced to my vocabulary and to my tender heart and soul. So you understand where we're going now is when we're talking about our confidence and how different things that you don't control, whether physical ailments, whether they're, you know, external things that are being spoken about you, how they begin to impact your ability to be the best that you can. I'm going to continue this after this short break.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is your coach, Coach Anna McCoy. We're talking about building inner confidence, and I was sharing a story with you about that occurred to me when I was in third grade, and I was told that I had Bell palsy, and Bell palsy is where the face is completely twisted to one side. Now, that is, that was tough. When I think about it, it was very, very tough, even back then, because I was very bright, very active young girl, cute and full of life and vitality. It was, I told you that I was the neighborhood tomboy, whatever, you know, I can get myself into, I was, and as a result of that, you know, I had really become quite popular and quite active in my little community. I was known for being intuitive, smart, funny, and full of joy. Now, you have to understand, the incident on that ice rink changed everything. By the following morning, that paralysis had grown much more severe. When I woke up, I ran to the mirror where I was joined by my curious siblings, gawking and staring. The first words I heard that morning were, "You look like the lanky-eyed monster." The lanky-eyed monster was a figment of the collective imagination of the neighborhood children. There was a wooded area between the path of our busy neighborhood street and the school, and the rumor had it that the lanky-eyed monster lived in those woods. I had envisioned all kinds of horrible things the lanky-eyed monster would do to me if he caught me walking to or from school. But until that day, the lanky-eyed monster never had a face. We hadn't determined his appearance. Now, he found Now he finally had one, a face, mine. Through the words of my brothers and sisters, I became, in a sense, that horrible creation of our imagination. Although I laughed off my siblings' taunts, I was devastated. How was I going to face my classmates, friends, extended family members? What would they say about me? A lot was said, and it wasn't very nice. Now, you know, a long time passed since I thought about that story, and it wasn't really until I started writing the book that I had long forgotten about my time at Dogan Elementary School. This prolonged forgetfulness was likely the result of a selective recall. I sought to block out memories of this painful time. Maybe that's why my parents transferred me to a different school after that year, giving me a chance to start over in a new place with new people. Now, you know, what's interesting about this process here is when we think about confidence and building confidence, sometimes we do need to start over. We need to change our environment. We need to change our friends. We need to give ourselves an opportunity to begin again in building our inner confidence. I am sure it helped me to escape what others knew about me and gave me an opportunity to make a fresh start. In building our inner confidence, sometimes we need to make a fresh start. So when you think about some of the things that's going on in your life, it may be time to take and make a fresh start in your life, like changing your environment, changing your friends. Some of these things are some of the things that will help to build your inner confidence. By the time I began fourth grade, my face looked normal again, and I had been placed in the classroom of the most loving, caring, and encouraging teacher, Miss Sharon Ely. Sharon Ely is still in my life today, and her contribution to my inner healing as a young girl continued well beyond her years as my teacher. She loved me unconditionally, maintaining a close relationship with me. She counseled me through my teenage years, attended my high school commencement ceremony, came to my grandmother's funeral, and bought me my first television set for my college dorm room. We celebrated our birthdays together when I turned 40 and she 57. We were born on the same date, 17 years apart. You know, when I look back on how I overcame the pain of my third grade year, I'm certain that Sharon Ely is an angel who was assigned to help me become. Life truly moves in a cyclical way. For now, I have become a teacher of Miss Ely, offering encouragement, support, and assistance as she navigates the decisions and the events involved with aging. My facial paralysis could have caused me to turn completely inward and withdraw from society, hiding from my peers and hating myself. But thanks to the loving support of family, friends, and medical personnel, who assured me that although I was experiencing a difficult time, I would not remain that way. I made it through. Even though they filled me with hope and encouragement, my saving grace came when my face healed. And remember, when we talk about those external things that erode our confidence, like your physical disfigurement, your dental work that needs to be done, it could be your surroundings. But then when my face was healed, something happened. I am sure you have your own stories about times when you endured pain, fear, or even uncertainty. How did you overcome those forms of adversity? When we think about building inner confidence, we have to begin to think about where we were successful in the past. I want you to know that even, although it's not written in the book, there were two occasions where I had Bell palsy. The first one was in third grade, and I thought it was over, never to come back again. I thought I was completely healed, and I would never have to endure this again. Well, when I was in seventh grade, just starting to mature as a young girl, starting to develop as a young girl, I had Bell palsy again. At a time where boys were looking at you, talking to you, then I became again the lanky-eyed monster, the person whose eye would not close, whose mouth was completely twisted. So how is it that we can overcome and remain confident in who we are and who we can become? I think one of the things that really, really helped me in overcoming that is confidence is developed by a series of events that occur in our lives that give us the opportunity to respond or to react. Responding allows us really to process information more objectively, even when it appears that the outcome will neither be good nor favorable. One of the lessons I learned after having Bell's palsy was to be aware of and sensitive to the differences of others. Remember when I said that I heard words that I'd never heard before? I heard new words were introduced to my spirit, to my soul, to my heart as a result of this physical disfigurement in my face. I didn't look normal. I was way too young, and it looked like something was wrong. The minute I spoke, my entire face would fly to the left, and it really eroded my confidence. But over time, I was able to begin to think about, instead of internalizing that something was wrong with me, I began to be much more sensitive to those who had issues with themselves or had physical problems, or maybe they weren't as smart, maybe they were teased by other people. I began to have a great sensitivity to that. And although my self-esteem took many blows during that time, I am sure that my confidence ultimately increased. I learned the importance of loving others, withholding criticism of others with physical disabilities and misfortunes, and developing greater sensitivity to the plights of others. Now, what's important about that, that's another lesson, that even when we go through things, that a part of building our own inner confidence is having a sensitivity and an empathy for others who may even be going through things that we're going through, or perhaps even things that are worse off than what we're experiencing. Instead of losing my self-confidence completely, I became stronger and much more self-assured as I cultivated, listen carefully, I cultivated my compassion, my empathy, and a recognition that my own situation was less dire than that of many others. So I want you to join me. We're going to go early today, but I want you to join us again on next week at 1 p.m. As we continue to talk about building inner confidence. And I'll be talking about developing self-confidence as well as eliminating attitudes that crush confidence, what I call getting over an identity crisis. So that will be our topic for next week. We want to invite you to visit with us on womanactnow.com, become a member. There are various benefits. You can join us on our 15-minute to Destiny empowerment call on Mondays for women. In addition to that, we also want to share with you that we have Woman Act Now prayer on Thursday mornings at 5:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and you're invited to attend, but you'll need to go to the Woman Act Now website to find out more information and to get access to the conference line as well as the access number. So we want to tell you that you are loved and appreciated, and God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, folks, thank you for listening to Woman Act Now today. This is Coach Anna Live. You were listening to an archive program. For those who may be on the line with us, I want to open up the line to you. I have 319. You're on the call. I'm going to open it up to see if you'd like to join me with some comments on our program today. Are you there, 319-296-5159?
Yes, I am, Coach. This is Linda. Thank you for doing this topic.
You are so very welcome, Ms. Linda, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. How do you get off the roller coaster of confidence? Because there are times that my confidence is high, and
yes,
it goes down, then up and down. You know, I just want to stay at that level of highness all the time? How do I get off that roller coaster?
Well, you know, part of this show we talked about managing your confidence. You know, confidence must be managed, and that's what you mean by that roller coaster, because oftentimes, you know, it depends on what's really going on in your life that you might feel more confident than others. So what I have decided that instead of just being confident or saying I'm confident, I really try to manage my confidence, you know, and really take an inventory of where I am as opposed to taking the hit, so to speak. When you say going up and down the roller coaster, I'm assuming, well, let me not assume, what are you really saying?
If there are times that I walk in confidence and it's really high, I can walk in a room or do whatever I want to do, and I feel good what I'm doing, and I'm confident in what I'm doing. And then there are times that I just shrink back from probably even doing the same thing, thinking, I don't know if I can do it or not, or I'm not sure. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. So then when you think about your confidence, it's really a series of events that occur in your life, and it's how you choose to look at them. That's why I said confidence is really managed. You know, you can determine it, you know, on page 129 of Woman Act Now, where this content comes from. On this particular program, we talk about eliminating the attitudes that crush your confidence. And that's really what you're speaking to, is sometimes I'm really strong and then sometimes I'm really weak. I want to ask this question. Are you a confident woman?
At times.
Okay, but no, it's not at times. First of all, I talked earlier in the show is that confidence is a birthright. As a believer, it's a birthright. It's not something you earn. Mm-hmm. It's a birthright that you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
So to be confident, you know, when we break it down to a scripture or scriptures that support our confidence, we have to go to the places where it says, greater is he that is in me than the evil that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror. You know, and those kinds of scriptures, you know, they that wait upon the Lord, they mount up like wings. Those are the kinds of scriptures that support your birthright of being a person of confidence. Now, when we talk about that roller coaster ride, first of all, you got to believe that you are indeed a woman of confidence. So I'm going to ask you again, are you a confident woman?
Yes, I am, Coach.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm just want to hear you say it. So then, the next part of that is, first of all, eliminating the attitude that crushes your confidence. Because, you know, confidence is a feeling. It's not a tangible thing. It's something on the inside. It's an intangible experience. And attitudes do affect confidence. So you have to learn how to eliminate those attitudes in your life that crush your confidence. For example, here are just a few of them. You know, one of the things that crush our confidence, and this is what I was talking about in the last portion of this when I talked about having Bell palsy, I could have allowed what other people say to determine my level of confidence. That's one of those attitudes, believing, really, finding yourself worrying about what are they going to say about me? Do they like me? What do you think, who do they think I am? And then we start to shrink because that was your word. We start to explode rather than exploding out of who we are. Another one is I can have it all. Sometimes our confidence is really broken or crushed because we have this attitude that we can have it all. And unfortunately, we really can't. You have to become more realistic about what you can pursue, what you can acquire, what you can attain, what you can exist in, what can you be comfortable in? Because you can't have it all. You're going to have to make a choice on what you're going to pursue. Now, you may have it all at different times, but you can't have everything.
Okay.
I love this last one, an attitude that really crushes our confidence, and that's, it's just who I am. This is me. I said, Lord, have mercy. This is me. You know, we walk into situations. We're not open. I had an opportunity on yesterday to speak to a group of professionals, and in that meeting I did the woman think teaching them how to think. And one young lady, we were kicking out of the hole, and she said to me, well, I said, how many did you get? You know, I asked them to do six, and she says, oh, I only got one. I feel like I only needed to do one because it ain't number one of me, and I just need one way out the hole. I don't need to think about any other way.
Hmm.
Well, this is just the way I think. So this is just who I am. And then you should have seen this, and I called her up, and all of a sudden the confidence that she had at the back of the room is starting to shrink on the journey to the front of the room. Because all of a sudden we look like the 5-year-old, the 6-year-old standing at the front of the stage. So when we think about, those are just some of those things that crush. So you have to learn how to eliminate the way you think about yourself. There's only a couple of questions you can really ask yourself when you think about your confidence, and that is, can I do this? Do I have the skill to do it? Do I have the want to do it? And then do I know how to do it? And usually if we can answer those questions, we usually can acquire or muster up the courage to do it. But it's oftentimes we're not really clear with what we want, how we can do it, and we may not even have the skill set. So we associate that with confidence. But the reality is we're missing a little information. We might need to make just a small adjustment, and we change everything.
Okay. Thank
you. So how do you increase your confidence? This is one of the ones I love most. When you think about that roller coaster ride, when you're high in confidence and then sometimes you're not, how do you deal with failure?
How do I deal with failure?
Because consider failure the dips.
To me, I consider failure as a motivation to me.
Good for you.
Yeah, whenever something happens and I don't do well in it, I come back really strong and achieve it. So I use it as motivation.
So then you actually fail forward. Meaning that failure is feedback for you. It's not your end. So we fall forward, you know. And in falling forward, that helps to build your confidence. Because what happens when you say, you know, my confidence, I have low self-confidence, that means I don't think I can do it. I don't think it's for me. I don't think I'm worthy. But your self-confidence, when it is strong, you just said it. I get back and I figure out a way to get this done. That's good. So, but you can go to 132 through 135. There are about 10 different things that will help you to increase your confidence, from prayer to meditation to proclaiming your uniqueness. One of the things I did in this audience yesterday, and I told them, I said, I am great. I am great. You know, I'm just going to tell you who I am, you see. And all of those things, and I told them, I am not being a proud person. I am being a confident person, walking in my birthright of this confidence that I have in I am. Did you get that?
The proud person that I have in the I am.
In the I am. I said, I'm just confident in who I am in the I am. Did you get it? I am that I am.
I am that I am. I am who God says I am.
Talk to me. So you are the person who can create your I am. No one else can do that for you. You are the person who creates your I am. You have the creative genius in you, because the I am is only calling out to you to identify the I am in you. So that is really where our confidence. Did you get that, Linda?
I did, Coach.
Oh, yeah. So he's calling the I am out of you. So when you say, I'm not confident, why not just say, I am confident?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because is the I am in you confident?
The I am in me is confident.
Yes, because the greater one in you is the I am.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's good, girl. That tastes good. But anyway, we're at the end of our show today, and I just wanted to allow you all to hear that program, and then we will convene again on next Thursday. We want to invite you to the radio program on Thursday. We're talking about going into April. We're talking about walking powerful in health. And we're going to be sharing some great things with you on some things that you can do to walk more powerful in your health. And I want to thank you, Linda, for being my co-host today and and just sharing on the show. You are loved and appreciated, and let the I am in you reign. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.